Hello, welcome back to episode 4178 of the Philosopher's Stoned.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've worked very hard on this. We have built up what can only be described as a dynasty, an actual army of listeners and patrons. Mm.
Hell yes.
You think I'd be more enthused at such a milestone, but it all rolls into one. Life becomes meaningless when you've done as many podcast episodes as us. How was your week?
I just ate a ginger nut cookie.
Uh-huh.
And normally, if I eat one of those, I end up eating about six or seven of them. Mm-hmm. And I now have only eaten one, and I can't eat them on the podcast, so it looks like I'm stuck.
Wow. Are you going to be thinking about the cookie all podcast, or are you going to be get your freaking mind on the game, your eye on the ball?
I'm going to try to think, but...
What is a ginger nut cookie? Can you describe that to our listeners?
Oh, yeah. I can describe it. It is a small ginger snap cookie from the UK.
Okay.
Imported into Canada.
Hey, don't touch it.
Did you hear that crinkle?
Yeah.
They are the best cookie that you can eat.
They're the best cookie you can eat.
In my opinion. They're my favorite cookie. Yeah.
What kind of nuts are we talking about here?
There's no nuts in them. It's a ginger snap.
Wrapper? Get the wrapper away from the microphone.
All right. It's a ginger snap. There's no nuts. If you eat one, you become nuts for ginger nuts, I guess.
That's why it's called ginger nuts. Really? So there's no nuts in the ginger nut cookie?
No, of course not.
What do you mean, of course not? It has nuts in the game, in the name.
Yeah, but a ginger snap is a pure cookie. It's got a snap. And if you put fillings in it, then it's not going to snap like that anymore.
Okay, so Ginger Nut is the brand, and it's really just a ginger snap cookie?
Correct, yeah.
It seemed pretty... I listened to you eat it before you started this podcast, and it seemed awfully crunchy for a ginger snap.
It has snap in the name of the cookie, snap. It's got to be hard and crunchy.
Oh, now would words in the name mean something? There is no nuts in the cookie. Ginger nut.
Well, what does a nut do when you bite it? It snaps. A ginger nut, hence, is like a nut made out of ginger.
See, this is where I wish we still could have our listeners write in, which we can. I just have been too lazy to set it up. But when I think of a good ginger snap or any good cookie, really, I don't want any crunch that's not associated with a nut. All right. A soft ginger snap. That's where it's at. If you got a crunchy cookie, man, and you don't have a cup of coffee, whew, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing? The crunchy cookie. You need soft, chewy cookies.
You're saying unless you can dip it in something, it shouldn't be hard? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Hmm. I don't know about that. That's weird. That's strange.
See, that's strange. I think that... So you, okay. When you think of your perfect
UK, chocolate yes, chip, that's where they're from.
I'm not in the mood for this, Sam. When you think of your perfect chocolate chip cookie, right? Perfect.
Okay.
In your mind, are you imagining like the decadent President's Choice cookies that are bone dry?
No.
You thinking of the dad's chocolate chip cookie, which is 100% meant to be dipped in coffee?
I don't think I've had the dad's cookie.
Okay, well, maybe it dries as fuck.
Okay, dry stuff.
What are
okay.
you? Describe the perfect chocolate. Just let's start.
Perfect
there.
Chocolate
just
chip cookie.
Yeah.
Perfect chocolate chip cookie
mm-hmm.
is substantial.
Is it crunchy? Let me just cut to the point here. Is it crunchy?
It has multiple textures. The perfect chocolate chip cookie has a crunchy bottom where it's caramelized into the pan.
Oh.
And then the center, once you get through that crunchy bottom, is soft. And
okay.
The chocolate itself must be soft. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when you chew it, you wouldn't be hearing a crunch. You would be hearing the softness of the bulk of the cookie is going to be soft.
Yeah, there's a small initial crunch to get through that crusty bit. And then it's into soft territory.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Let's move on. You did some shows this week?
Let me think. Yes, we did the Dakota's open mic. And
what was the turnout this week?
Good. Again, it was good.
Damn. Yeah.
Good turnout again.
Hell of an open mic over here.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave introduced me as the bad boy of Kelowna comedy.
Yeah, he always does that as ironic.
Yeah, it's smart.
It's smart. He's calling you a pussy. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, exactly. But then I turned all my jokes into me killing people at the end of them and stuff. So.
Good shit. Good shit. Yeah.
And then what was on Saturday? Saturday was Levi McCutcheon.
Yeah, I was supposed to be on that show.
Yeah.
He bailed. Professional I am. I totally bailed on the show and went and got drunk at a friend's house. But I had a good time. Real good time.
Hell yeah. And the show was pretty good too. The audience was pretty good. It wasn't very well, not a lot of people there. But it went well. It went well.
Good, good.
And then I saw the new Alien film.
Ah, yes. Saturday. I saw Alien this weekend too. Let's get into that.
Let's get into that, said the facehugger.
Yes. Yeah. Let me get me in. Let me get my freaking appendage down your throat.
Yeah.
I'd like to go on a limb here and say that's a bit more than a hug. I'd say that's going all the way to third base at bare minimum.
Yeah. Impregnation via your throat.
It's fun.
That's
God. Not that's a great movie to take your 8.5 month pregnant wife to. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, really? Wow. Nice.
No, she enjoyed it, but there was definitely a lot of like the whole thing of Alien is something you don't want inside of you bursting out. So it's just
bursting out or bursting in, both happen.
Both. It's not good.
Yeah,
a lot of birthing symbolism, or just straight up, that's what's happening. What did you think?
Yes. What did I think? Okay. Well, this was Alien Romulus.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers ahead, of course.
Spoilers.
I thought it was like a really good. I thought it had a little bit of everything that made the first Alien and the second Alien, and I guess like Prometheus and Covenant. I'm not sure. I haven't seen Alien 3 and 4. I've only seen 1, 2, and Covenant.
So we went to dinner with some friends, and they had just watched the first one. Not for the first time, but they just rewatched it.
Okay, yeah.
And they said it was unbelievably slow, like incredibly painfully slow.
The first Alien?
Yeah.
Well, if you're not a student of cinema, and you're like then you might not think it's a balls. It's not supposed to be balls to the walls action. It's supposed to be slow.
I know.
God damn it.
Okay, so just so the listeners know, I'm waiting for someone to come and pick up a couch, so I might have to pause this podcast briefly to go direct them to the couch. But I just got a message from Leonard, who is the man who claims to want this couch, and he said he's coming just having dinner. So, listeners, dear listeners, if we have to pause, I am sorry. Anyways, from what they told me, my friends that just watched it, they say you only see the alien like 3 times and it's not until like an hour in.
Yeah, you don't see the whole creature all at once till an hour in. I don't know. I don't see any problem. That Cloverfield did the same thing. I don't care about that.
I guess I'd have to rewatch it and decide for myself.
That's a standard horror technique. That's a standard horror technique. You just show little bits of the monster here and there to build up people's suspense.
That's true. I think people have come to expect more action in the Alien franchise than originally was supposed to be.
Yeah,
but I gotta say, this one was really entertaining. It wasn't like, it wasn't terrifying, but there was definitely some very disturbing scenes. There's also some very cool, clever scenes, I thought. I thought that the actors did a good job. I didn't hate any of the characters. Yeah, I don't know. Excellent work. What did you think of the... okay, first, let's go from the beginning. What do you think of their motivations to go? Because their whole thing is they want to get these sleep pods so they can go to a different colony. Because they're kind of trapped as like slave labor on this mining colony planet. And this young group of teens, they realize, or they somehow find out, I forget how, that there's an abandoned ship in orbit of this planet that contains sleep pods necessary for travel to this next colony.
Yes. Yeah, that's like the plot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I love that they are, I think it makes total sense for them to do that, because the real enemy in the Alien franchise is not necessarily the Xenomorphs, although they are an enemy. Mm-hmm. But the true arch enemy of the series is the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, which is the corporation that's keeping them as like kind of quasi-slave labor on this, this, what's it called? Jefferson's Moon or something? John's planet. Let's call it that.
John's planet.
John's planet.
I like at the beginning how they like double her. She like thinks she's done her served her time, and then they just like, nope, you got to serve another 5 years or whatever. That to me was a good thing to be like, all right, I would also be like in a fuck this move. Let's go see if we can get around this and get to a different, better planet that supposedly has, you know, nature, whereas this planet just seems to be strictly like mining on a rock.
Yeah, exactly. No sunlight, that kind of thing. So I love that they're exploring a bit more of the blue collar world, and that's what set the first Alien apart from most of the sci-fi, was that it was about a blue collar mining ship, that kind of thing. So I love that they're doing that.
They definitely made these characters felt a bit more relatable than the last two movies where everybody was like a scientist
or
a really highly capable human being.
Yeah.
I'm really still not sure what the order of these Alien movies are in or what the deal is, how they're all linked. Cause Covenant and what was the other one again?
Revenant? Prometheus.
Oh, Prometheus.
Yeah.
those would take place before or after the events in this one?
I'm not 100%. I think they take place before, but this movie feels like it takes place immediately after the first Alien.
Yes. I think they said it was like 100 days. It was only 100 days, they say in the movie. I really liked that they kept the tech in this movie the same level of tech that we saw in the first one, like 80s, like the sci-fi of the 80s tech, like everything's analog and there's not like LED lights everywhere. It's all still like old school lighting and screens and stuff. There's a bit of a retro throwback, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, you're right. Prometheus is a prequel.
Okay. Yeah. So why is there that human society? They have advanced technology. So what happened? Bother explaining that? Maybe it's just this is a different corner of humanity where their technology is still far behind, or they're just given the shitty old technology.
In my opinion, I don't think Prometheus and Covenant should be considered canon in the Alien
brand.
No, I think throw them out. They are totally unnecessary.
Did you not like?
They don't do anything.
I think so. You didn't enjoy them.
They're fine movies, but they don't work in the Alien universe. They just don't make sense. It's just like, what's the point?
I'm gonna have to go on like a YouTube thing to like see exactly how all these connect and what they're, because there's so many different type of xenomorphs, and like every movie has the alter, like the extra alien that's not the same as the xenomorphs. Like in this one at the end, there's the most terrifying part of the movie for sure.
Yeah,
was when you first lay eyes on that creature at the end. That's like a human hybrid, but it's like 7 feet tall and gross.
Yeah, it's weird. So this movie is like, I like that idea. That was a good idea. But yeah, I think I like this movie because it almost, in my mind, like erases, just makes me forget about Prometheus and Covenant.
A lot of shade getting thrown at Prometheus and Covenant from Sam.
Well, they're just so silly. They're so dumb. They're such silly movies.
Prometheus was all that great. I thought it was fine. I definitely like Covenant better.
Yeah. They're both okay, but they're not about what Alien is about. In my opinion. They don't touch on the themes.
Do I remember correctly, or did Prometheus not even have like your classic xenomorph in it?
I think it does at the end. I think like one of the creatures. Yeah, it does at the end of Prometheus, where the engineer like wakes up or something, and and then like the mega facehugger impregnates it.
Right, but that's not a classic xenomorph. That's like a different hybrid thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a hybrid.
It's like blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think they have the classic human.
No. Well, even in Covenant. Human. Yeah. Even in Covenant, they don't have a. That's not the classic xenomorph either.
That's right.
That's a slightly different variation.
It's way bigger in that one. That scene at the end was dope of Covenant, of where the giant xenomorph is on that like lift. That carrier ship that they're flying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's like the only time you see it, but it's terrifying when it's taking down that ship.
Yeah, that was pretty dope. But I love Alien for like these themes of the Weyland-Yutani Corporation and their like obsession with like the perfect organism. That kind of thing.
Okay, because I don't think I've really even picked up on what the motivation of Weyland is. I don't know if I've really connected all the dots as to what actually is happening in these movies. What is their goal?
Of the corporation?
Just to find the perfect... Oh, in this movie, it kind of explains that they want to find a way to get humans to be better at space colonizing. As in longer life, less fragile, stuff like that.
Yeah, they are obsessed with turning humans into a more like perfect organism for the world of space and stuff like that.
Right.
And and their vision of perfection is just like unbridled hostility, basically.
Right. And who are the engineers? Do those exist in the Alien franchise outside of Prometheus and Covenant?
Well, they were basically, they're not in the original story at all.
That's what I thought.
But they land, so in the first Alien, they land on this planet responding to this distress signal. Uh-huh. And they find this big abandoned ship. And there's like a pilot sitting in the pilot seat of this huge ship. And his chest is exploded.
Right. And is that that's an engineer? Like, does it look like the engineer?
Ridley Scott and company retconned it and they just said, we're going to make up a movie about that guy. And then, then they spawned the whole, then that was Prometheus and Covenant, and they made the aliens originally. And then Michael Fassbender goes and does something. I don't know.
Well, he fights himself in Covenant, I believe.
Yeah, I can't really remember what he does in Covenant, but
he is running. Well, first of all, there's that scene where they kill everyone on that planet. All the engineers get killed, right?
He goes so the and black, kills them, yeah.
The black mist or whatever, the black death. Goo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the same black goo that appears at the end of this movie?
Yes.
It has totally different effects.
Yeah. Kind of. I don't know if it's like the same, like the same stockpile, mm-hmm. but they, because again, I don't know. I feel like these movies are pretending Prometheus and Covenant never happened.
Right.
And they're, I think in this movie, they say they derived it somehow from the alien or something.
Right. So this, they're ignoring, is Ridley Scott, he did both Covenant and Prometheus, right?
Yes, he did. But he did not direct Alien Romulus. And I don't think his company produced it, but I don't know if he was involved at all.
It definitely felt like more of a throwback to like the horror side of things, where I thought Covenant and Prometheus were like getting into philosophy and kind of big picture shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really know if that's necessary for this.
No, I mean, I think that there is a lot of the philosophy going on in the Alien movies, but I think, yeah, like the Prometheus and Covenant, they just went, it's like a completely different kind of movie than what you want from Alien, in my opinion. But yeah,
like this one,
this one does not have any of the writers from Prometheus and Covenant. And it has Dan O'Bannon as a writer, who was the original story writer for the original Alien.
I see.
So they are taking it back on purpose. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was great. I don't know if I'd want to watch yet another. This might be the last one I'm willing to watch that takes place in the dark corridors of a ship. I kind of did like the planet exploring aspect of Covenant and Prometheus, but like, it's a lot of corridors, a lot of corridors.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I love about this movie, is they take you to an actual planet and a big space station.
Right.
And so like compared to the first Alien, the station that they're on is quite expansive inside. Right. Like it's got a big cafeteria.
I will say this one did a good job of not making me feel like I've seen all this before, which is what I was expecting. It did come, it felt fresh, even though it was dark corridors again. I really liked the planet, the rings of the planet there around, the time to impact, because I was looking forward to that impact the entire movie, because they talk about it right away.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is going to be dope. And it was pretty dope when it actually finally happened. So that's pretty cool. I liked the kind of restriction on guns that they had. Here's something I've noticed, and I don't know if I haven't watched the originals in a long time, but has this movie really made a big deal of the acid blood that the xenomorphs bleed? Like that was basically one of the linchpins of the plot.
Yep.
The fact that the acid blood can burn right through the ship and then they'll lose pressure and everyone dies, right? So it was like the whole part of them not being able to use guns and because the blood would burn a hole through the station and they'd all die. That was pretty, I like that idea. Mm-hmm. And then when they figure out the main character figures out how she can actually use the gun, it's like one of the most tense scenes of the whole movie. Even though there was definitely like a little, you really did kind of have to suspend your sense of logic a little bit, just because, you know, she turns off the gravity and that allows her to shoot the aliens because the blood won't fall down and into the ship. But it's like the blood's still moving. It's still going somewhere. I don't know. Maybe it would work like that. Don't you think that like the velocity of the blood, or would the blood hit a surface and just kind of burn a hole but not keep moving? Maybe that's what the logic was. Maybe it would go down the way it did in the movie.
Oh, I don't know. I'm no alien blood splatter expert. But, at least they addressed it. That's good.
Yeah.
But to your point, I think what I like about this movie is it opens it up to more settings where this can happen. And
right.
And I love, like, because it seems to me like you could do I feel like the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, they seem like the kind of corporation where like, okay, so they have the space station studying the alien and stuff, but I feel like they also kind of wouldn't mind if it got loose and killed everybody on the station. It's because then they just go, like, hey, it works. Yeah, more yeah. data. It works really well. Look at that.
I'm just trying to think of what other what other environments they could have an alien story in that is still true to the mining colony. I mean, they kind of did a mine. No, they didn't do a mine. Alien versus Predator, they did. They went underground, and that's where it all happened, but it wasn't a mine.
Yeah.
It was a pyramid that the Predators used as an arena to hunt. I think they could make another Alien versus Predator and just really fucking knock it out of the park. Like, dial back the campiness. Let's do a serious movie about Alien versus Predator. That would be so badass. And with the resurgence of both these franchises, with Romulus and Prey, the Predator movie, I liked what they did with Prey, because now it's like, oh yeah, we could just do Predator movies in any different time of history and it would be dope.
Hell yeah, brother. Let's do it.
But if you do both, okay, imagine Alien versus Predator set in during the Black Plague in Europe.
Everyone's like all sick and dead.
Yeah. Well, that could be another like element of like, you got a couple of the main characters who aren't sick, and they're all not only they're navigating the plague, but now they're dealing with the Alien versus Predator scenario. Say that it's set in like I don't know, what's that country that that Dracula was supposed to live? Let's throw Dracula in there.
Where does Van Helsing fit into all this?
We can squeeze him in since we're doing this.
Helsing versus Predator. Let's go.
No, I liked it. What did you think of the Alien versus Predator movie? I just rewatched it not long ago because my wife we watched Prey, and then she got really into Predator for a while. So she watched every Predator movie.
Well, these movies, they usually have the Predators as kind of become like allies to the humans against the aliens in these movies, right?
I think there's only one Alien versus Predator. Is there two?
No, there's a whole bunch of them. There's AV1, AVP, AVP Requiem.
What?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Dude, are you not? Have you not seen all the Alien Predators? Dude, what are you doing?
I must have not. I got to ask my wife, because we did watch all things Alien and Predator, and so it might have all just mushed into one kind of thing. All right, Alien versus Predator.
AV1, AV2, AV Requiem. I think that's all three.
Wait a second. AVP, Aliens vs. Predator, that was 2007. I went and saw that in theaters.
AVP2. That was AVP Where? 2. Yeah.
Where?
In 2007.
No. Yes. No. Predator Dark Ages? Whoa, what is this?
Alien vs. Predator is from 2004. It has 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You shut the fuck up. There's no way.
Alien.
Oh, Alien vs. Hunter was 2007. Alien vs. Predator Requiem. I got to figure out if we watched all these.
Oh, wait, hold on. Alien vs. Predator 2 is Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
Right. That's not the one where they're underground, though. Is it?
No.
Oh, I don't think I've seen
these. They are in Antarctica. The original Alien versus Predator is in Antarctica.
Yeah. Alien Lockdown.
These are probably great movies.
These are not canon. That's a rip-off. Alien versus Hunter.
That's a ripoff. These are ripoffs.
These are B-movies?
These are like Thailand DVDs.
Oh, so there was not more than one Alien versus Predator for real, though.
Yes, for real. There's two. There's Alien versus Predator and Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Oh, my God. I don't think I've seen this one.
They're both exactly what you want. They're aliens and predators fighting each other.
But yeah, they are versus each other, right?
Yep.
That's very important to me. All right. Who all is in this? John
but
Ortiz?
You always end up, the humans and the predators always end up aligning against the aliens in these films, in these stories.
I think I did see this one, actually. Anyways. I think that's interesting. What?
The Weyland-Yutani Corporation, they say that the alien, the xenomorph X001 or whatever it's called,
mm-hmm.
is the perfect organism because of it's like totally hostile and totally survivable.
Right.
And so it just takes over everything and nothing can stop it. But oddly enough, its utter hostility seems to be a weakness because it cannot ally itself with any other species. And so the humans and the predators, because they have this ability to form alliances, they are always able to defeat the aliens.
The aliens, yes. And also the aliens could really benefit with a little bit more strategy, you know? They seem to just go.
They just go.
They don't have any I mean, sure, their strategy is basically go to third base on someone's face and then there's another alien. That's basically the end all. They
have life cycles. So right. They have the egg and the facehugger comes out of the egg.
Yep.
And
sex ed with Sam.
Yeah. The facehugger comes out of the egg. You see the facehugger, it jumps at you. You scream. And then when you scream, it shoves its proboscis thing down.
So the key is to not scream when it jumps at you.
Well, I had a major problem when they were walking through the room full of the facehuggers.
Yeah.
They all had their mouths open. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You clench your teeth as hard as you fucking can. Like, oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah. There was that one quick shot of the facehugger trying to shove its, like, dick into the guy's mouth. It was like, so unsettling.
Now,
I think turning away and it was like trying to shove it. That was such a fucked up scene.
Flopping all over his face.
Yeah.
But I had a problem with that because I did a little research after the film. And according to the alien wiki, it also like hits you with some like paralytics and muscle relaxants. So you can't probably close your mouth. But anyway.
Well, once it's on your face, I don't think you can close its mouth. You can close your mouth. Right? Once it's hugging your face, you're not able to bite down on it.
Well, no, suppose you keep your jaws clenched and then it jumps on you. Unless it had some way to like cause your either to rip your jaw apart or fuck up your
muscles. Maybe cuz I noticed in this one on their legs there was little like spikes. On this one that I had not noticed on any other one. Maybe those inject muscle relaxant or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Into your jaws. Anyways, I'd rather just get killed by an alien than face hugged. That's for goddamn sure. That's got to be the worst way to die.
Well, here's the aliens. A lot of the time, like the fully grown ones, what they do is they'll go and catch someone, but they don't necessarily kill it right away. They bring it back to the hive that they built. And
right.
Web it up in the hive, and then they
get a facehugger. They call up to the facehugger department, and they come down. For the aliens, it's all very routine. It's just day to day work. You know, they're just clocking in, clocking out. To humans, it's horrific. Yeah, because that's what they do in this one. They drag people away, and you got to be healthy enough, I guess, to grow, so they can't kill you.
Yeah.
A lot of times they do seem to stab people through the chest with their tails.
Yeah, they like that.
They do love that. That's one of their best moves, is the tail drops down behind someone and then right through the stomach or the chest. I remember one part in this movie when they're in the elevator shaft and the alien catches her. So
yeah, from falling. Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, is this a moment of altruism?
That was really interesting. That was really interesting. Because that's like a weird moment where the alien's interests and her interests are almost in alignment.
Yes.
They don't
very rare. Very yeah. rare. Because she was going to die and it caught her.
Yeah.
Now, it could have done. I've seen these aliens stab people in the shoulder and drag them away, right? So it chose to just catch her instead of puncture her. Maybe it thought it was too risky. Maybe it made a little calculation.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting.
I think it was pretty cool that they did make a full giant puppet of a xenomorph for this movie, because you could tell they looked really real in lots of shots. Mm-hmm. There's one shot in particular where she's clinging to the side of the elevator shaft and one comes out of like an air vent and it looks so real. It was a terrifying moment.
They have the aliens are, that's a guy is in a suit for a lot of them, and the offspring, that's a real actor in makeup.
Okay, I saw that. It's the basketball player, right?
Yeah, basketball player. And that's funny because the original alien. Yeah, and the original alien was the same thing. They used like a super tall like basketball player.
How do you ask him to do that?
Just pay him a bunch of money.
I mean, the guy is, he literally looks like an alien. He's got a condition of some sort. This isn't just a really tall guy.
Well, he doesn't look like the fuck. I mean,
no, have you seen pictures of him though? He doesn't look, he definitely has some sort of condition, some sort of gigantism, yeah. But it's like his proportions are, it lends itself to an alien look. And I don't even know what you call it. Would you call that an alien? The offspring guy?
Yeah. Hybrid. Well, okay. It was the role he was born to play.
Yes.
But that's an interesting thing, because what they have is they have this, they've reverse engineered this black goo that they say is, they're kind of vague and hand wavy about it, but they're basically saying it's like some kind of DNA like thing, like not like a virus, not like a cell. It's some weird thing.
It's supposed to help you survive in space, basically, or make you into a creature that can survive in space.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it. That's the effect that it has. But it's also you can inject it into any species, and it rewrites the species DNA into something completely almost unrecognized. It basically takes what the DNA that you have, and then it works with that to create something that can do the xenomorph life cycle. With face huggers and hives and stuff.
Dude,
so that's why they're all slightly different depending on what species it goes into.
For a second in this movie, I thought there was going to be a giant rat that came out that started fighting
on the human side. Yeah.
Because they injected that stuff into a rat, or they showed a video of someone doing it.
Yeah, I want to see the rat morph.
Well, did you see, there was a shot of it dead.
Oh, okay.
It looked pretty scary, but that guy, man, he looks very unsettling, especially in this movie. And I really hated how it was like smiling when it was about to kill the girl at the end. Do you remember the shot where it's like got a full on grin?
Yeah.
Ugh. I will say the practical effects were 10 out of 10, but some of the CGI was a little bit shaky.
Okay. Yeah. So it's so I guess so I thought one of the most interesting things in the movie was, and maybe it alludes to what we can expect in the prequels, but so it's this alien it's called Alien Romulus, and it's on a space station that has two halves, Romulus and Remus.
Yeah,
Romulus and Remus, famously the founding sons of Rome, who were raised in the wilderness by a wolf.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's
not that famously.
Okay, fine. Maybe not that famous.
Is that true? That's not a myth? That's really who, like, not the wolf part, but.
No, the wolf part is part of the myth. Yeah.
Okay, but was Rome confirmed founded by these two brothers?
Oh, no. That's just
okay. Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
As far as I know, yeah.
And then what happens in the myth? Where do the wolves come back in the story?
Oh, good. I actually don't know. I think the point is that, here's Wikipedia. In Roman mythology, Romulus and Remus are twin brothers whose stories tell the events that led to the founding of Rome, the city of Rome and the Roman king, by Romulus following his fratricide of Remus. So Romulus kills Remus and founds Rome. Okay. Fun.
Fun.
So, yeah, this movie I thought is interesting that they go for that Romulus and Remus founding. So Romulus is the ship that survives, I guess.
They're two halves of the same space station is what I thought.
Yeah. And then one half of the space station is the Romulus half and the other half is the Remus half.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't quite figure out why they were in two halves.
I think there was a kind of a throwaway line about it, but I forget why. But the ship that our main characters take up there, they initially land on the Remus side, and then a series of unfortunate events ends up crashing into the Romulus side. And then that's kind of the story. The people that were still on the Remus side have to get to the Romulus side to save their friend.
Okay, right. Well, yeah, so I feel like the point of this, the reason they called it that was because the Weyland-Yutani Corporation is like for humanity to like get to building Rome, like Rome of the stars or something. We're going to need a non-human mother, I guess.
Right.
Something that can help us survive with its superior like animal traits or something. And so that's the whole point of the station, is they think this is where humanity is going to get its non-human mother to boost it up.
Now, did the Weyland Corp know what was on that spaceship? Like, why was this spaceship in the orbit of the planet, the mining planet that the kids were working on?
Yeah.
And then there was that really highly valued goop on there that the evil android wanted them to take back above all costs. Uh-huh. And it's like,
is
why
he really evil, or does he just have a directive that he can't control?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You can't really be evil when you're programmed, right? Yeah, he was just doing what he was told.
Yeah.
I mean, even the sympathetic android in this one went against his every moral fiber he supposedly had as mm-hmm. soon as he got a new directive. One of which was letting a pregnant lady get snatched up by an alien when he definitely seemed like he had enough time to let her in the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a question. Do you think that, because in this story, one of the main character is her quote unquote brother, was this AI android that was programmed by her father to protect her. And they had like a brother and sister kind of relationship. The android had a stutter, which made it, and it kept on getting bullied by humans. So you kind of had you felt sympathy for it. But I don't know. I feel like it wouldn't take much for that to happen, for people to start looking at androids as real people after a while, if they're convincingly enough human. Like, I don't even think they have to be perfectly convincing.
Yeah, maybe not. He's pretty convincing. Like, if you met that person, you would not think here's a robot. You would think, oh, here's, you know, someone maybe a little on the spectrum or something.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what I assumed until he got beat up the first time and he started bleeding white blood.
Yeah, and you can put a flash drive in his neck. So.
Yeah, that was another huge clue. Yeah. I can hear my cats fighting in the next room. Yeah.
But that was great. I loved that that sort of demonstration of how he's designed to protect her interests. But when this new chip goes in, it gives him this gift of intelligence and stuff. And
mm-hmm. His stutter goes away.
Yeah. So I thought that was really, really cool storytelling there. But yeah, I feel like the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, are whoever's running it, I think seems to, I mean, if you think an upgrade, if you think the offspring, that creature, is like the next upgrade for humanity, then you're a straight up psychopath.
I think that would be a hard sell, though. I think that wouldn't be where they settled. This is, well, it. Everybody get your injection.
Well, I kind of think that, like, yeah, that's what they would want to do. Because they, well, would,
they probably would be like, this is good enough. Like, it's functional, but like, it's horrific.
But they want horrific. They want hostility.
Yeah. They kind of implied that it like breastfed on its human mother too. Did you catch that?
Oh, I thought it used that like worm proboscis to like suck her blood out or something.
No, no. She like, right after she gives birth, she reaches into her shirt and she pulls it out and there's like this slime coming out of her. Implying, okay, it's coming out of her tits.
Oh.
That was extra horrific. So this big offspring alien comes and that little tongue comes out. And I think it, like, when it showed him feeding on her, he was really sucking on her titties.
Oh my God. That's,
yeah. 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 And then, yeah, she was dead after. Was she dead after that? No, yeah, they saved her. No.
She's dead. She's dead.
Did they, she die? Her?
Pretty sure she's dead.
I forget how the movie ends.
Pretty sure it's just the android.
Oh, right. It's just her. Yeah, the android and the main character get out of there alive.
No cat this time.
Boo. No cat. Was there a cat in the other ones?
In the first Alien? Hell yeah, there's a cat.
Oh,
she saves the cat. The whole movie is about her trying to save the cat.
What?
Not really, but
I don't remember that. I got to rewatch Alien 1, I guess.
Alien 1's awesome.
All right. Here's a broader question, not about this specific alien. What is your favorite alien movie, not just in the Alien franchise, but aliens, period?
What?
Yeah. You're the UFO expert. You should have this locked and loaded.
Like my favorite alien video?
Well, not video, your movie. What's your favorite movie that involves aliens? That's about aliens.
Oh, I don't know. What is yours?
Oh, man. That's a good question. It's a great question.
See? Not so fun, is it?
Well, I thought you would have thought about this more than I have. My favorite alien story is definitely the Three Body Problem trilogy. That's hands
down.
Okay,
that's a good one.
Favorite alien story. As far as the TV show, I never finished watching it. Even though I heard it's good. Man, my cats are absolutely going at it right now. Usually I'd go and break up the fight, but the pod must go on. I can't pause it for a cat fight and a couch delivery at one episode. We'd lose all of our listener.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, I might have to go. This sounds like it's dragging on too long. Or just give me one sec. You keep talking. You think about.
I have to keep talking.
Think out loud about what your favorite movie is, alien wise.
Jesus Christ!
Sorry, one of my cats is killing the other cat.
All right, go save him. Okay, I'll start ruling some stuff out. We can rule out the recent or 2017 film Life, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Naomi Rapace. Is she in that too? I did not like that movie. I thought it was very silly. And the ending was just stupid. It's not an alien movie. It's like a... It's just like a stupid monster on a ship killing everybody.
All right. What'd you find out?
I ruled out a movie.
Okay.
I ruled out Life, the movie Life.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Ruled
one.
Ruled that one out. Ruled out. Terrible.
You didn't like that one? Where it starts off as this little thing?
So
and then...
stupid and pointless. It's the most pointless movie.
I liked how it was so strong, even though it was just a little fucking alien.
Yeah, it's cool. Pound for pound, a very tough alien.
Pound for pound, a very tough alien.
Okay, I'll list off some ones that I liked. Okay, you got, of course, anything X-Files, love that. The film Evolution, that's a great one.
Yes. Is that aliens?
Yeah.
Okay, because that one should be talked about more. It's a comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy. That's a fun one.
Yeah, it's a great one. I used to love that movie.
Yes. First Men in Black. I would put that one up there.
Oh yeah, Men in Black. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Good call. Good call.
I did not. Nope was cool, but Nope isn't really an alien. Nope is a cryptid life form that lives on Earth.
Oh really? I didn't even know that. I didn't think it was that great of a movie. I thought it was funny. No.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan.
What do you think of Signs? Would Signs be up there?
I got to rewatch it, but I think probably yes, that would be on there.
That one was like a really one of the first ones I saw that was like terrifying about aliens. Mm-hmm. That one, really don't see the alien until the very last second. So
yeah. The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh yeah, I watched that recently.
Of course, Predator, we talked about Predator.
Predator, pretty good, pretty good.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, great movie. Okay. What's it called? Fuckity Duck. Not Fuckity Duck. Also a good movie.
Fuckity Duck.
Shit. I just fucking had this one on the palm of my tongue.
The palm of your tongue. I think you might be an alien.
God damn it. What? I had it. Oh, okay. Yeah. There's two more hopeful, more optimistic alien films.
Okay. Avatar 1 and 2.
Okay. Well played. I was going to go with E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Okay. That reminds me of Fourth Kind. You ever seen that? I don't know if it's just called Fourth Kind.
It's called Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind.
That's the horror one? There's
a scale of encounters. Yeah.
Okay. And those two are, that's a sequel?
No, Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind is like a horror movie.
Yeah, that one scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, that was a Close Encounter of the Fourth Kind is an alien abduction.
Yes.
A Close Encounter of the Third Kind is you just see an alien being.
Right. And are those two movies related?
Only in that they are both based on lots of like accounts from eyewitnesses. Like Close Encounters of the Third Kind is very heavy on UFO lore.
Right.
And part of UFO lore are abduction accounts. And so both of these movies are a take on abduction accounts.
Mm.
And Close Encounters of the Third Kind is optimistic in that it shows the aliens returning people who have gone missing over the years. Like Amelia Earhart, like World War II fighter pilots, these sort of people. The aliens like save them and then they bring them back to people. But at first we don't really know what's going on. There's government cover-ups, blah, blah, blah. And then Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind is about malicious abductions.
Oh yeah, that was a terrifying. Was that a found footage one too?
No, I don't think so. It was made to look like it,
right?
But no, we did not have real footage of the abductions, unfortunately.
See, I'm trying to think of any. I know they didn't have real footage, but it was like an interview. Like someone was going around interviewing people in a town or something.
Yeah. Right?
So there was a lot of like interview style footage.
Yeah, I have the book by the Harvard, the head of the Harvard Psychology Department, who compiled the like one of the biggest books on UFO abductions and completely lost his career as a result.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. Like I watched a little thing on crop circles, and it's like crop circles became very popular once there was enough, or what was it? Once there was like a sci-fi boom in the cultural and like culture, as in a lot of sci-fi novels start getting written, that's suddenly when all the aliens start wanting to visit.
Well, oddly enough, you will find references to aliens living on other planets throughout human history. It's never been a weird concept. In fact, in the 1800s, it was a common belief that there were human-like beings living on Mars.
1800s is not that far. It's not that long ago, though.
Yeah, but no one had seen I mean, science fiction was barely a genre.
That's true. That is true.
You can go back to, what's his name? He was a astronomer, Italian astronomer, Giovanni something. He proposed aliens in the Renaissance. Yeah, it goes back and back and back.
I'm trying to think of another big alien movie that we're slipping under the radar here that's focused on aliens. Okay,
well, there's a focus on aliens.
Yeah. So not like Star Wars. Like
Invasion
or...
of the Body Snatchers.
Right.
2001 A Space Odyssey. All the Star Trek films.
Ooh, you know what I really liked was Lost in Space back in the day.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I love that one. Yeah.
But I don't know if that one was really alien. There were aliens in it, but it wasn't really about aliens, if I recall.
No. Aren't all the Marvel movies are alien movies, right? Thanos is an alien, right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. He's from Titan. He's from the moon Titan.
No, I meant basically they're all about aliens. Like all the enemies are very much aliens for a lot of them anyways.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think Marvel needs to back off and do a little small scale story shit. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
Did you see the trailer for Kraven?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, do you not remember me saying that they're going to start doing R-rated Marvel movies because they're the only ones that make money now?
Okay, well, this is crazy, right? In Canada, the rating systems? What do you think Alien Romulus is rated?
PG-13.
Yeah, it's 14A.
14A, yeah. 14A. Canada has always been, you don't really get an R rating unless there's a heavy sexual element or there's like a full-on sex scene, right? I feel like that's how it's always been.
Yeah, I think so.
Where we're more lenient on violence and less lenient on sex, and it's the opposite in the States. You can get R rating easier with violence than with sexual content.
Interesting.
And language, obviously. I mean, I think language might be one of the biggest things. Is like, if you have 50 F-bombs in a movie, you're probably not going to be able to get that PG-13 rating.
Yeah. 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 Well, okay. I did have one gripe with this movie.
Okay.
In addition to the thing where they all had their mouths open, mouth breathing around the face huggers. Like, oh, what the fuck are you doing?
But, you've never been in such a high pressure situation. You might be mouth breathing too. Maybe they all had clogged noses. You know, their allergies were acting up.
That would have been a good, someone should have sneezed. That would have been great. But anyway, it's like a quiet place. Like, come on. But anyway, well, I had one gripe, which was that the whole plot was like, man, we gotta get out of here somehow. We gotta work for this company to get off this rock. I've been working for him for 5 years, and they're still not gonna let me leave. And then they just like steal a ship and they're gone.
It's like, I think the point was, is that there was nowhere survivable within limits of that, of their regular spaceships. That's why they needed those sleep cryo chambers to get to the next planet.
Okay. Right.
Cause there definitely didn't seem very hard for them to steal a ship and get into orbit. Like they had literally encountered no resistance whatsoever. I don't even think there was anyone that came on their radio. Like, what are you doing? Power down. Yeah. There was not even that. They just took off.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would like to see one where it's like on a mining colony and the miners are like about to go on strike. And then the Weyland-Yutani Corporation shows up and they're like, okay, here's your replacements. Fucking offspring come off the ship.
Ugh, gross. I don't want to work with them anyways. Okay. Number one pick. Here's an alien movie that I think deserves to be recognized as one of the greats. Iron Giant.
Iron Giant's an alien?
Yeah.
What? I thought he was man-made.
No. Iron Giant's not man-made. What? At the very end, he has a bunch of alien weapons that come out of him. He might not be an alien, but he's built by aliens, for sure.
No. You missed the point of that movie.
What? Are you out of your mind right now?
No.
The Iron Giant is from a different planet, man.
What?
You fool.
I thought it was like a U.S. government weapon.
No. No, it's from a different world. Hang on a second. Okay, I'm
doing. Why does he look exactly like a person?
Good. Okay. Hang on. All right.
Who Let's built see. The Iron Giant? That's what I'm Googling. Who built the Iron Giant?
It might be. He had a bunch of crazy lasers and shit that came out of him.
Okay. According to a deleted scene available in the signature edition, the Iron Giant. The Iron Giant comes from. Oh, God.
What?
This is so dumb. What? A planet-destroying alien army. Of metal-suited men. What the
fuck? Yes, okay. It was always from... He was always from a different planet, though.
Oh.
Because the U.S. Army had no idea how to deal with him, right?
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
I thought it was like a metaphor for the U.S. tech getting out of control.
No. All right. So if you don't like Iron Giant, how about Lilo and Stitch? There we go.
Okay, I love the Iron Giant.
Basically the same story.
I have not seen Lilo and Stitch.
Well, Lilo's he's a friendly little alien. Well, he's not really friendly, but he's you know, friendly enough. Okay. And then at the end, a situation arises where he becomes like a scary version of himself with extra attacks and powers. That's basically what happens with Iron Giant.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, that's our stupid podcast. We will talk to you guys next week. Whoever you are, we love you.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Say it. Say it, Sam.
Say what?
Say you love them.
I don't know. All right, I love you.
All right, thank you, God. Okay, bye.